And so we begin. This is our wow, it's all so left heavy. This is our final Hilchos Shabbos shiur for the current iteration, for this current semester or what have you. And I would like to thank all of you for your support and your encouragement and for your asking of questions, because I'm really so heartened that people who are in this shiur have really made an effort to participate in it for so many weeks. And I appreciate your participation and your attendance, because it really is very heartening to me. The last topic, before I get to the last topic, Dr. Lurch asked me about sticking tacks in the... I'm just reading this from Rabbi Rivia.
Thumbtacks,
putting in thumbtacks. According to the leading poskim, one is not permitted to stick pins into a wall or a bulletin board, whether to hang notes or for other restrictions, because of questions involving bona and other Shabbos restrictions. Tacking an item to the board may be bona for the following reasons. Remember, what is bona? Bona is attaching something. Let's say we take a screw and screw it into the wall. We would all agree that that's bona. So what about the tack? One, the pin forms a hole in the cork backing of the board. Creating a hole in the ground or in land-based structure is bona. So remember, we talked about last week about plumbing. So if you can't plunge your plunger, for sure you can't create a hole in your tack board. Okay. The fact that the hole being created in the cork is only temporary is not sufficient basis for permitting this act. The fact that the hole is filled in is also not a factor. This is because an opening has nonetheless been created to accommodate the point of the tack, at least while it is stuck in. So you're arguing the hole was already there. The hole was already there, put it back in. But the cork board is made in such a way that even if you had a hole, it opens and closes. And also, this has paper covering it. But the paper, the hole in the paper, I don't think is significant. There's no issue in...
The idea of Mar Sinai.
Oh, but what's the Mar Sinai? Is the Mar Sinai something that's prohibited?
Because there's cork behind it.
Right, okay. Two, the tack can also be used as an accessory that is being added to the structure. However, there's some merit to the argument that cork backing is designed for regular pinning and detaching, and therefore could be permitted. The fact that holes in the cork material close up after each use may also be a factor. Notwithstanding these considerations, one must adopt a stringent attitude on the question. I couldn't find anybody else to talk about it. Why can't you use the thumbtacks on the board? I don't know. Right, it's not Shabbos Day. It's one of those, not Shabbos Day.
Good enough answer.
Is it a good enough answer?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean...
Whatever you put on a board, in my case, it's an illicit activity after
Shabbos. Not necessarily. I just put something on the board for people's information. But to be aware, I got a letter from Carl Levin. Yeah, which is very nice. Of course, I sent him a letter first. But sometimes it's for informational purposes only, which I think is important. The other thing that I was thinking of is, remember we talked about connecting, sticking something. We talked about that being some derivative of tofer, of sewing. And we talked about using sticky notes. And the issue was, how long did you intend for it to stay? Remember we talked about that? And if you intended it to stay for over a 24-hour period. And one could argue quite convincingly that when you stick something up on a board, even though it's not sewing, you nonetheless you intend for that to stay for an extended period. And so therefore, I say stay away from the bulletin boards on Shabbos. What about using a magnet? Remember we talked about kitchen magnets?
Yeah.
What did we say? Anybody remember?
No.
You don't remember, or no, you said we can't use it? I'm pretty sure we said you could, that you could, it's not considered permanent. Right, you're not making a hole, the magnet is not considered permanent. Okay, last topic we're going to discuss is what I call late for Shabbos. Yeah, it was a heavy topic. Yeah. Okay, so what? This is halacha lemaisa. Yeah, this is really, okay, and the reason, I'll tell you what motivated my discussing this, because I wrote it down, as I often do. What happened basically this year is, as people asked me questions, so I would give them answers. So there was a medical student. And this medical student called me up and said, Rabbi, I got a dispensation for Shabbos. I can leave early. Now it's late already, so it's not a problem during the winter. But during the winter months, when Shabbos begins at 4:30, 4:40, so they said I didn't have to be there for Shabbos, but I could only leave, and he was a good 45 minutes away. The guy said, I can only leave an hour before Shabbos. Mm-hmm. And no matter what I did, you know, it's the, because why? Because the head of the department was Jewish and knew when Shabbos began, you know, and said, okay, you know, you can only leave an hour before Shabbos. That's how long you need to prepare for Shabbos. So he said he was... Daniel, well, you could look at it that way. You could look at it, it was nice of him because he didn't
know. I have to argue because I work for a Jew and I work for a Goy.
Yeah.
And when I work for a Goy, at 2 o'clock, he was supposed to leave. I told him I got to leave the job at 3:30. At 2 o'clock, he said, what are you still doing here?
Yeah.
And they took me, literally, by force, out.
Okay. I'm not going to argue that's the anecdotal evidence that, that I'm aware of, that non-Jews are much more understanding, but no, that's neither here nor there. So he asked me a question. He was genuinely afraid that he would be driving on the road and that he would get stuck and there would be traffic and it would become clear that he would not arrive in time for Shabbos. So the halacha is, we wanted to know, is what do I do? What do I do? How do I handle the situation? And this is not, we're going to talk about that. This is not a unique situation. This happens to everyone. In my personal experience, it happened twice. Not to me, but when I used to live in, first I lived in Linden, New Jersey. And Linden is an extended suburb near Elizabeth of New York. And anyone who's ever driven in New York knows that it can take you 45 minutes to get from one place to another. Or it can take you 4.5 hours to get from one place to another. I was talking about another reason not to live in New York. I just would like to know.
Is Linden near Muncie?
No, near Elizabeth. So I was talking, you know, you were driving the New Jersey Turnpike, and then there's this chemical plant, and it stinks to high heaven. That's Linden. That's Linden. But we always used to say that the stench blows into Staten Island, which it does. Okay, no problem. Okay, so I invited a friend of mine, and he was coming from New York. So he was coming from Yeshiva, so he came on the train. And his wife was driving with their two small children over from Brooklyn. And so he arrives, no problem. Shabbos comes. We don't hear from her. This is before cell phones are, you know, that prolific. We don't hear from her. We go to shul. Not there. We come home from shul.
Oh, yeah, right.
Not there. No. She's low. I mean, she didn't ask, but she had two babies with her in the back of the car. And they got stuck on the Verrazano Narrows Bridge. And when you're on the Verrazano, there ain't nothing you can do.
Swim.
And this is traffic. That was one. And so that's one case, which is an interesting question. Second question. I had another friend who was visiting me. I was in Connecticut now. And he was taking the bus up from New York to Hartford. And I was going to pick him up at the bus station. So what happens? Friday afternoon at least work, and it starts to snow. Right. This is Maisim b'chol yom, as we say. It happens each and every day. It happens all the time. And I go to the bus station to pick him up. I get to the bus station, and the guy says, that bus ain't coming in for another hour and a half. Right. And so, what does he do? Yeah, I go home. I'm slipping and sliding, driving like a maniac in the snow. I made it back to shul. I had to dive into my weekday clothes. Because that's how close it was that I made it back to shul. I lived next door to the shul. And after I got home, in the middle of dinner, Friday night, he arrived. And this is a very good friend of mine. So what should he have done? In all those cases, what should you do? What do you do? You're stuck on a bus, and the Shabbos is coming. Or you're driving your car. Those are very different cases, and Shabbos is coming. So these are halakha l'maisha questions. I called a friend of mine just to make sure that I had all the answers. I called him. I said, he's in New York. I said, it's 10 minutes before Shabbos. You get an urgent phone call from the Bala bus. By the way, those 10 minutes before Shabbos calls are the worst. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they need an answer right now. Right? Plus, I can't call New York. If I have a question, I have to call Chicago or Los Angeles. Right? New York already made Shabbos. Right? You know, and every now and then it happens. A person needs an answer. So, you know, that's like somebody asks a question on Shabbos. You can't ask it. You have to do your best. That's what it is. So somebody calls you, Rabbi, I'm on the Belt Parkway. And it's a moving. I mean, if you've ever been in New York traffic, you could sit there for hours. You could just sit for hours. What do I do? So he gave me an answer, and I will explain. So the first thing you have to know is that the halacha is enshrined, I would say, in the halacha, that you have to be careful about these things to the best of your ability. And the halacha talked about people not traveling on Friday. So if you look on page number one, Simon Reish Mem Tes, Zinim HaShayachim LeErev Shabbos, there are laws that are relevant to Erev Shabbos, not to Shabbos itself. Says the Mechaber, Ein Hochem LeErev Shabbos Yoter Mishalos Parsaos. Right? You shouldn't have to go more than three parsaos. In Klingon, that's parsecs. Okay? You shouldn't go more than that. How much is shalos parsaos? Anybody know? I'll give you 3 miles. You know what I'm saying? It's probably, I don't know how much it is.
I think it's about 3 miles.
What?
Definitely not a parsec.
Right, it's not a parsec. How much is a parsec?
I don't know.
Some light year or light year or something? Okay, fine. Kedesi yagia leveso ba'od hayom gadol. So that you will arrive home when it is still day, right? And you'll be able to prepare for Shabbos. Okay, whether you're going to somebody else's house or whether you're going to your house. That's talking about if you're in the Yishuv, in the settlement, where you can prepare. But if, let's say you're not going to be safe, you're in a place where you don't feel safe or you can't prepare for Shabbos, then I'll let you go a little bit farther, right? But this idea of I need to go to New York and I'm going to leave from Detroit at 6 o'clock in the morning and the next Shabbos is 6 in the afternoon in the evening. That's fine if you're flying, that's true, right? But if you're driving, it all depends on. So what the halacha says is you got to be careful. You have to be aware that a person should be aware that it takes time to get places, and that things happen. So obviously there are going to be situations that are beyond a person's control. But under most circumstances, in most situations, if a person, let's say that you got to come from where you come from Flint, and then you come from beyond Flint, right? Yeah. So you know how long it will take you, and you also know what happens if there's traffic, how long that will take you, correct? So you have to try your best to accommodate that and give yourself that time. Now, it could come to a situation where there's a massive blizzard all of a sudden you didn't know about. There are always going to be situations like that, but you have to be careful. Says this in the Mishnah Berurah, okay?
Every side road.
What?
I know every side road. Around
family. Everybody, okay.
First rule flying on Friday is keep your Shabbos closed up. At least your luggage is locked. You don't have to waste time of year, but worry about the luggage. So have your Shabbos closed.
All right, that's a good rule. I mean, for Friday flying, it's a very good rule.
Yeah, because you can fill your Shabbos clothes and towels.
Okay. Ubaharbe, Shira says there's a hay in the Mishnah Berurah. Ubaharbe Achronim, many Achronim, Ra'ishi Sekasva, they wrote, the Mikomakom, nonetheless, Sarich Lizayar Lechatchila. You have to be careful, Lechatchila. Shalo Yelech O Yisa Ad Samach Le'ereb. Don't travel until the evening. Don't go somewhere right late. Let's be honest. Many times it will happen that you will be nichshal. You will stumble. And there's going to be chilul Shabbos. Why? Listen to what he says. Very interesting. Kibal uspiza uafilu bebeso. Because let's say you're going to a hotel. This used to be, by the way, when you would show up at an inn, right? And then or you show up at somebody's house. Kishabas amach l'Shabbos mosifin levashel b'shvilo u'machal in Shabbos. So they say, we got 3 more guests. Cook a little more. V'gam kama pa'amim yara d'lo yagia l'malon u'levesho mi'ba'od yom. Sometimes it's going to happen that you're not going to get to the hotel or your house at the right time. V'kama chilul Shabbos yesh. There's a problem of chilul Shabbos. B'hotza'a v'hachnasa. This is what we're going to talk about. Hotza'a v'hachnasa. Let's say there's no Eruv, or you're coming from outside the Eruv. You're bringing things from outside the Eruv, but you're not permitted to do. Or, Yitzhiya Michutz Latzchum. What's Yitzhiya Michutz Latzchum? Anybody know what that is? We're going to talk about this. This is something that people are not aware of.
There's a limit on how far.
Yes, there's a distance beyond which a person is not permitted to go on Shabbos. We're going to learn this. This is one of the halachas that many people are not aware of. Never heard of it before, right?
No, I have heard of it.
Okay. 2,000 amos. An ama is about a foot and a half. 2,000 amos is 3,000 feet, which is half a mile. Approximately 0.6 miles.
Was it an Arab or outside?
I don't know. We'll talk about what it means. We'll talk about it.
It's hardly an issue for anybody. Anymore. That's why people have no consciousness of it, because when you live in a big city.
Correct. It's hardly an issue anymore. Correct. Okay. Or Usvisas Behemto. And remember also that if in a time when people traveled by animal, not only do you have to rest, excuse me, your animal has to rest. So nowadays, even though you have a Mustang, your Mustang doesn't have, you know, has to rest on Sabbath, but for another reason. Okay. V'lachein, this is just a good warning. Kol zeh yashim ha'adam l'libo. Take this to heart. V'yimaher lisvos afilu b'kfar. Right, and you should make Shabbos. Be careful to make Shabbos even in the village. The lo yishitenu ayetzer lomar. You know, don't let your yetzer say to you. Your yetzer means your inclination, right? Oh, Yom Gadol, Derech Tov. I got more time. You know, 696 is clear. South Yom Expressway, no problem. Right? One bad accident, lo aleinu, on 75, and that's the end of it. You're all done. Right? That's it. Ach im era sahalach ad chasecha b'haya b'bein hashmarshos b'toch tchum ir. We're going to talk about what happens. Let's say if you got stuck and you get to the edge of the city, muter lalach b'tocha. We're going to see. Then you're allowed to walk inside of it. We're going to see situations. What happens if you're stuck? So the first rule is just a very good, you know, be aware. Don't play with Shabbos. Because there's a halacha, the halacha encoded or enshrined in it, a responsibility to be aware how long it's going to take you in the worst case scenario.
Isn't there a rule that you have to allow enough time to go there and come back?
To go there and come back, I never heard. Right? I mean, in the Mechaber it says strictly, so we're not as careful about this anymore. Also, you know, we, for us, it's interesting, it's very clear from the halacha that they kept an Israeli week schedule. What's an Israeli week schedule? When is the work week? Sunday to Thursday, or Sunday to Friday morning. And already Friday morning, you stopped work, it was time to get ready for Shabbos. America, because we live in a very Christian country, right, in all Christian countries, so it's the work week is Monday to Friday. So it's great that we have Sunday off, but Friday is a work week. So therefore, if you're working on Friday, it can become very, very complicated. Very, very hard. Very, very difficult. And this happens all the time, week in and week out. And you have to be aware and do your best. Okay, so what happens? So the first rule is, I want to share with you, just to skip beyond. First rule is, let's know our times. Okay? There are one, two, three real sets of times. In three real times when it comes to Shabbos. What's the first time? No, time. What's the first time you have to be aware of? No. What? When is Shabbos supposed to start? Lichtbenching. Right, that's the time. The first time is candle lighting. Lichtbenching. You're supposed to be done by lichtbenching. And it's very easy also to say, well, you know, I've got the 18 minutes and I've still got this to do and that to do. 15 minutes, okay. No, lichtbenching, that's the first time. Shabbos, you're supposed to be done with what you're doing by lichtbenching, okay? And that's why the rabbis said lichtbenching, because that's when Shabbos is supposed to begin. You're supposed to light candles, not after that time. Okay? That's one. Next one is, what's the next one called? Skia. What's skia mean?
Sunset.
Sunset means Shabbos begins. Okay? When Shabbos begins, you're not allowed to violate the Shabbos. But there's a very big difference between skia, which is whatever it is, 18 minutes after the benching, and then, you know, we'll give you a real case this week. Okay? Because without a real time, it doesn't really, it's hard to follow. This Shabbos, okay? This Shabbos, April 1st, okay? This Shabbos, this Shabbos, okay, sunset is 6:59, which means lichtbenching is 6:41. Okay, 6:41 lichtbenching, you're supposed to be done, ready. Even if you have a bar mitzvah, right? Okay, you have to be ready. Okay, skia is 6:59. Okay, that's sunset. That after that, even if you forgot to light candles, you didn't light candles, too late. Anything that you didn't do is too late. Okay? Between sunset And then 45 minutes after that is called Bein Hashmashos. What does Bein Hashmashos mean? 45 minutes. Between, in between, twilight. Okay? In the language of the rabbis, it's called Safek Yom, Safek Laila. Okay? It's unclear whether it's day, unclear whether it's night. Safek Yom, Safek Laila. Okay? There's one, there are a couple of ramifications, but there's one major ramification for Safek Yom, Safek Laila. And by the way, and then after that, at 7:44 is Seid HaKochavim, stars come out, Shabbos for sure. Okay, what's the big difference? Turn for 1 minute to page 3, number 9. Number 9. Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. Okay, if it's Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos, in between, remember, after Shkia, but before Tseis, during those 45 minutes. This time has man bein shkia hachama leteika kochabim, between the sunset and stars come out. Mutar lomar lanachri laasot kol melacha. Right? One thing you're allowed to do is what's called amira lanachri. Ask a non-Jew to do something for you. Im amnom yesh la mishum tzorech gadol, if there's a great need. So this comes up all the time. I left the refrigerator light on. Right? I didn't unscrew the bulb. I always unscrew the bulb. I forgot. I left this on. I left that on. It's after you lift the candles. Right? But if you don't have somebody open the refrigerator for you, you're not going to eat anything on Shabbos. I would consider that to be a great need. So you're permitted to go to your non-Jewish neighbor and ask them, can you please open my refrigerator and unscrew my light bulb? Why? Because it's still in Bein Hashemashos and it's considered great need. Om Mishum Tzorech Shabbos, if it's a need for Shabbos. Om Mishum Tzorech Mitzvah. Or for Tzorech Mitzvah. Ulefikach, therefore, mutar lomar lanachri erev Shabbos ben hashmashos lahadlik or letzorech haShabbos. You can tell the non-Jew, you can ask him, would you mind turning on the light? I left all my lights off. Okay? For the Suda Shabbos or in the bedroom, etc., etc. So you're allowed, you are permitted to ask the non-Jew to light for you on to light the lich benching for you on Shabbos if you forgot. Another thing you're permitted to do. So that's number one. Rabbi, I got the phone call. I'm in big trouble. What's the matter? I'm on 75 traveling north. Right? And I'm stuck. So actually, this probably wouldn't work in Detroit. And you'll see why in a second. So let's assume I live in Manhattan. Right? And I'm on, I don't know, on the FDR Drive, and it's not moving. So what's the
usual case?
Which is the right. So what would I tell you? So the first thing I would tell you is you have the 18 minutes after lich benching. You say, yeah, great, 18 minutes. It's not going to do me any good. So the next thing I'll tell you is, remember, amira lanachri, asking a non-Jew to do something for you, is permitted in a case of great need. Right? Not being home for Shabbos is a case of great need. So what do you have to do?
Yeah.
Call a cab. Call a cab.
Park your car
and call. Leave it. Leave it. And call a cab. It depends where you are. It won't be there. It might be towed, and it might be gone. That depends on where you left it. You know.
On the other hand, the cab may not get there in 45 minutes either.
In New York, it would. In Detroit, it would not. In New York, you could hail a cab.
Yeah, but if you're stuck in traffic, the cab's not getting through.
If you can't get through, the cab
can't
get through.
What's that?
Even if
you
get off.
Yeah, you get off.
Get off.
You get off.
Park, which is, you know, non-existent.
No, you could park illegally. Maybe not exactly. See you later.
But the point is,
that's right.
If you can't make it north,
let me make it clear. There's no heter to save your car to violate Shabbos in order to save your car.
So you can't take out and you can't take anything with you.
If there was no Eruv, no, you'd have to leave your valuables, leave your wallet, stash them. And go, yeah, Josh.
But the camp can't get
there. The camp won't be able to get there for you.
It would get you close enough that you could walk, maybe.
Not come really on. You see in the middle of Harlem.
Have you really been?
Okay, let's talk about that. Yes, I have. I'm going to tell you a story. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so what's considered skia? Like when the
sun starts sinking. Sun sets over the horizon. It's not even you know when skia is, because now we have all the charts and everything. Sunset published in the newspaper. In your area.
So you didn't have a charting map there camping in the woods.
The sun goes down. Where you
if you're out there camping in the woods, then you should light candles well before the sun sets below the horizon. Right? As the sun starts going down, that's when you should light candles and accept Shabbos. Right? That's really what you should do. Okay. Well, if you're out there in the woods, you...
might as well make Shabbos.
You better build a little Eruv, or you're going to see you can't move at all.
Yes.
We're going to see. Very interesting. Okay, go back to page one. Now let's see this now. Says the Gemara. Now you think this is a new problem? This Jews have been making Shabbos, getting into Shabbos late for thousands of years. How do I know? Look at the Gemara, source number two. You think this is a new question? It happened all the time. Mi shehichshich baderech.
Especially Jews who are known to be late.
Well, everybody's always late. Someone was hichshich baderech. It got dark as he was traveling. Right? People are people. I always say that. Nothing changes. It doesn't matter if you're traveling in a car, you could be traveling in a plane, you could be traveling on the foot with a donkey. Jews got stuck getting late for Shabbos. What?
A wagon. A balagolo.
A balagolo, yeah. So he says, no saying kiso lenachri. See, it just so happens if you're traveling with a non-Jew, so what do you do with your wallet? You give it to the non-Jew. Let him hold it for you. Ve'im ein imo nachri. Or if you don't have a non-Jew with you, Menicho al hachamor. And you place it on your donkey, which is not simple.
No, especially if you...
No, your donkey's carrying for you. So this is a huge, it's a huge kula, we'll see. Okay? Higia lechatzer hachitzona. So once you reach the outer courtyard, you are not permitted to bring your stuff inside the house because of issues of hotzah and hachnasa, bringing out and bringing in from rishus to rishus. So therefore, you could take those things that are not muksa, the shein, the nitalim, the shabbos, those that are not matir hachavalim, you untie the ropes on the donkey, and then they fall off the donkey. And that's where you leave them where they are. Once you're inside your outer courtyard, just leave them there on Shabbos. You can't handle them, you can't touch them. So it's interesting to note what you do. Why do you have to, you would think, by the way, what do you do with your wallet? If your wallet's with you, your money's with you, your money bag, what would you have told me? What do I have to do with my wallet? What? Drop it. Right. Why? It's muksa. So the Gemara doesn't say that. Give it to a non-Jew, put it on your donkey. So the Gemara says, listen to the Gemara. My time as sharu le rabbanan lemetab kisei lenachri. Why did the rabbis allow you to give it to a non-Jew? So kimluhu rabbanan, the rabbis knew, dein anaman mid atzmo al mamono. Right, so a person is going to, it's going to be very, very difficult for him to give up all this money. Ilo sharis le, and if you don't permit him, ashi le asuye arba amos birshus harabim. Then he would carry it. A person would carry it. So if we didn't give you a permissible way to put it on the donkey or to give it to the non-Jew, even though you're not allowed to have a non-Jew normally do malacha for you on Shabbos, people would carry it anyway because it was too much. By the way, why is this not relevant to us nowadays? This rule is not relevant almost ever to us nowadays. What? Nobody's carrying cash. That's right. And what would happen, Milt, you lost your credit card?
Nobody's
carrying so much cash. Meaning back then...
everything they own.
That's right. You're coming back from a business trip. You had a successful business trip. You sold all your stuff. You're coming back. This is what your family's going to live on for the next 6 months. So, and I tell you, drop it, it's Shabbos, that's very good, but what are my kids going to eat? So, but if I tell you, you have your wallet, say, I got a couple $100 on me. You know, who carries 6 months with a salary in their wallet? Hopefully nobody here.
With the salary I get paid.
Oh, I'm not going there.
you and I have to go through the same decision.
How's that? Right. Okay. Okay. That would be a similar if you have your sechera, as we would call it. It's highly muksa. But in that case, it would be relevant to you. But in most circumstances, so you lost your wallet, it's a pain in the neck. We can all agree. But if I was afraid, let's say, of dropping my wallet in the middle of nowhere, right? I was afraid it would be stolen, so what would I do? You don't want to... What?
Leave it in the car.
Okay, either you leave it in the car. Let's say you didn't feel comfortable leaving the car. I would destroy it myself.
I was going to say you cut them up or
bend
up your
rip
credit
up cards. Rip up the credit cards, right? You can rip up your own credit cards. It's just a phone call, and they'll give you another one.
You're only responsible for $50.
Right, right. But you know, it's a headache. Somebody's stealing it from you. Identity theft.
That's after you report it, but shove it. By the time you report it on
We keep talking about sitting there on Shabbos and ripping up your credit card.
No, before Shabbos. You can't rip it up on Shabbos.
As you're walking quickly.
As you're quickly walking. What?
If somebody steals it, if somebody takes it and charges it, it's not going to be responsible.
Okay, so now I just want to show you in the halacha, it's codified, number 3. Misaya Baba Derech, you're walking, Vikidus Elav Hayom, Shabbos comes. Vahayu Imo Mos, you had money. Vyeshlo Chamoro, Vagam Yeshimo Eni Yuri, you had a donkey, you were non Jew. Vahoy Ania Kiso Al Chamoro, the first option is not to put it on your donkey. Meshahu Mitsuba Al Sinisasro, because the donkey, the Torah says, must rest too. Ela no Sen Kiso La Eno Yuri. So, give it to a non Jew, and you're okay. Look at Zion. It's very interesting. This is a very interesting one. In Ein Imo Shum Echad Nikol Elu. Let's say you're walking by yourself with your money. You're just walking with your, you know, you're walking home. Yataltalenu Pachos Pachos Midalad Amos. Anybody ever heard that principle? So Muksa, the rabbis were gonna be mavatir on. They'll you have to worry about it. They'll allow. But what about you're not allowed to carry something in a public domain 4 amos, 6 feet. Because that's a isur de oraisa of hotzah. Again, this is not really relevant to us usually because we don't have an eruv. But you have to be aware of this when you're out in the woods and you don't have an eruv, you can't carry anything at all anywhere. Right? And it's worthwhile for people to be aware of this if there's an issue.
Wouldn't she build an eruv in the area where she's camping?
Yeah.
That's so simple. Yeah, hopefully she will, but it's not easy. Building an eruv is not a simple matter. You know, it's interesting. I was just my son asked me. He comes to show Friday night every week. He announces the Eruv is up. So he says to me, "What's the Eruv?" It's an excellent question. What's the Eruv? So I was explaining, trying to explain to him what the Eruv is. You know, kids could grow up nowadays never having heard that there's such a thing as carrying on Shabbos. Why? The Eruv is always up. So they just ignore it. The Eruv is up. What does that mean? The Eruv is up. The American flag is up. I mean, it means the same thing. It doesn't mean anything. And you can carry on Shabbos. Which is, by the way, why rabbis were at some point reluctant to have an Eruv all the time. Some rabbis wanted that at least 1 week a year they should keep the Eruv down. Because people should be aware. Which I think is not a terrible idea. Just pick a week and say, you know, that there should be an awareness of Eruv. Okay. In Detroit, everybody's a bar mitzvah 1 week. You don't know what to do. Okay. What do you? So you're not allowed to carry, but you're not allowed to carry something 4 amos. Less than 4 amos is not considered a significant act. So he says the Gemara gives this idea. Let's say you're stuck, and you've got 6 months worth of salary in your pocket. What do? You don't want to violate a D'oraisa, and ostensibly, you're not permitted to violate a Torah law, no matter how much money it is. That's asking a person a lot. So the rabbi said, you know what, I'll give you an idea. But you can carry it less than 4 amos, then you put it down. Pick it up, carry less than 4 amos. Every time you do it, you're violating a D'rabbana, rabbinic prohibition. But what Mr. Brewer says, he says, Shvus chamer humod, it's very serious D'rabbana. Duma loyet samsein b'shiurim. Let's say a person's not going to measure properly. So a person should not take this lightly at all. This is not something that you would suggest to anybody to do ever unless you were caught out in the middle of nowhere with your diamonds in your pocket. And it was really a significant.
People do that with six.
Mm-hmm. With children, and there's no Eruv, right? Because the children are probably more valuable than 6 months' salary. Right? But again, another group that don't hold it, in place with an Eruv?
No, I was having
one
out with an
air. Or they didn't hold
the
air.
It was in West Bloomfield in the old days.
Ah, right. So that's what the idea is based upon, that less than 4 amos. Okay, next page. Okay.
How much is 4 amos?
6 feet.
6 feet?
Mm-hmm. And that's hard to measure. That's a lot of up and down. A lot of up and down. Okay.
Are you allowed to kick it?
Less than 6 feet. Less than 6 feet. Again, less than 6 feet. Right.
You don't have to kick down. You can just
Right, except if it was your money bag, you wouldn't, because then it would open and you'd be in big trouble, and you're right, you know.
But can you pass it to another person?
I mean, give it to you, yes, but again, you pass. I think that would be a good idea, but again, if you had an...
Because as a kid growing up, and a lot of us, we didn't carry keys.
Right.
But our parents did. And so we decided we wanted to go to someone's house, so they'd go up to their parent, get the key, and then we would transfer one guy to another until we got to the guy's house.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. An interesting creative solution, but definitely not something I would suggest with Chachila. Really?
Yeah.
And what did the rabbis say? So they didn't know about it.
Then, no one.
Well, how did the parents hear it?
They didn't care.
Right. Maybe it was a pen or something.
Steve.
Different days, different
right.
times.
Steve, this was Manhattan Island, which is one big A review.
Yeah. I've heard that one already. I've heard that one before. Okay.
That would be creative.
Okay.
Is an island considered its own era?
A small island, but Manhattan Island has a gazillion people. Yeah.
This was an opinion that was prevalent.
It was an opinion, but it certainly wasn't prevalent. It was an opinion.
You're in the Bahamas.
Yes. You'd have to ask me about which island and how many people are there. But it's possible, right, that the shelf is considered, what's it called, the... Continental shelf, thank you, is considered a wall. And that wall is bokeh v'hole, it goes up all the way to the, you know, continues. So that's considered a legal wall for Eruv's purposes. Right? It can be in some situations. Okay. What?
An island, the river is
there. All I can tell you is I know on Miami Beach they have an Eruv.
Yeah.
Right? If you've ever walked on the boardwalk, I was walking with Lena when we went there, and I said, oh, there's the Eruv. She's like, what? And I showed her. But there's the Eruv. It was very clear. And everybody else kind of, she didn't see it. But if you know what to look for, it's right there. Okay. Page 2, please. Miso tiu nachrim aruach ra. Let's say for some reason somebody took you. You were living in your city. You live in, maybe a really small town in Michigan.
Hell.
What?
Hell.
Hell, Michigan. The rule is, in the city, you have to stay within what's called the Tchum Shabbos. You must stay within the city limits. But you are allowed to go out, how far? 2,000 amos. Now this is not really relevant for us, because it's 2,000 amos outside of the habitated area. So in Detroit proper, you could walk for miles and miles and miles, and it's still a habitated area. But you have Jews, very often, living in rural areas. You live on a farm, you live in wherever, where you are not within 2,000 amos of the next person. And each farm is, so let's say I wanted to go to shul on Shabbos. So I could extend that 2,000 amos. I'm allowed 2,000 in every direction. But I would be able to put what's called an eruv tchumin, another kind of eruv, in order to say, if I'm here in the middle, so I have 2,000 in this direction, so if I put an eruv tchumin, if I take my eruv, which is some food and whatever, and put it over here, I could extend my 2,000 all the way in this direction, so I could go all the way 4,000 over here. Right? And there are very good reasons why somebody would want to do that, because he'd want to eat at his friend's house, or daven at shul, or what have you. And that way you'd be permitted to go all the way in this direction, but no way in this direction. Okay, that's a halacha of Shabbos. What happens if you, for some reason, get pulled out of the Tchum Shabbos on Shabbos? Listen to this. Nishal tiyuhu nachrim. Someone who is taken out by non-Jews. Oh, ruach ra. Or ruach ra means an evil spirit carries him out. He just starts walking. Ein lo ela arba amos. If you find yourself outside of the 2,000 amah limit, now you have to stay put for the rest of Shabbos. Okay, you're stuck within your own arba amos, 6 feet. All right, so enjoy the rest of Shabbos. So which means, let's say, so now we passed Ben Hashmashas. You're in your car, you're driving on the way. So let's first give ideals. So you're driving from, I don't know, I'm driving up to...
How about Ann Arbor?
And I'm driving up to Charlevoix, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Because I'm making Shabbos up there. And of course, on I-75 North, they're doing construction because they are never not doing construction on I-75 North. And lanes are shut down, and I get stuck literally in the middle of nowhere. Okay, first thing, what am I supposed to do? As Shabbos is coming along, what's the first thing?
Hyperventilate.
Yes. What?
Find a motel.
That's one. Correct.
What?
You see Shabbos coming? Get off the road. Get off the road and find a motel. That's a good answer. Okay? You missed it. You can't find anybody. You got off. You have the 45 minutes to call a cab to ask a non-Jew. Okay? That 45 minutes is up. You're stuck in your car. Now, if you're still stuck in your car, you have to pull over to the side of the road and have a nice Shabbos. What? In the middle of the summer, what's going to happen to you?
And what if it's not the middle of the
summer?
What? Oh, excellent question. The car itself is not muksa. Why is the car muksa? All you got to do is turn off the lights, right? And then the car's not muksa. Because, no, this is your home. What if you lived in an RV? Is the RV muksa? No, you can live in an RV for Shabbos, no problem whatsoever. So if you make the car your domicile for Shabbos, it ain't going to be a pleasant Shabbos, but it'll be a Shmiras Shabbos.
You could...
It'll be a Shabbos Shabbos.
Shabbos is how your grandchildren about. 95% sure you could drive all the way to Chicago without paying 4,000 miles from
an inhabited area?
Yeah, I'm pretty
sure. No way. No way.
I think so. You can go a long, long way.
You drive up to Michigan? You drive up to Michigan? There are miles and miles of barren area.
You could go to Flint, certainly, and beyond. You could go to Saginaw, and that'd be more than...
So, now, by the way, you make Shabbos, you think it could happen, right?
No, I don't think it can.
You think you're there's inhabited areas the whole way? Right, it's not inhabited.
It's not.
Right. So you're stuck there, so now you have your 2,000 almost in every direction. Okay, for Shabbos. Now hopefully you have some food with you. And by the way, what if you didn't have food with you?
Get to close the night.
On the car. What if you didn't have food with you?
You go home.
You're not going to starve. Right.
You have to open and close the door, so you have to turn the light off.
Correct. You have to turn the light off. Yeah. Make sure you turn the light off. No, make sure you turn the light off. Then you can open the door. You can get in, get out. And what if it's freezing?
You can light the windows.
What if it's cold? What if it's in the middle of the winter?
You should have
blanked. You always have
to. No. Then that is dangerous. That is dangerous. Then you got to make a phone call, and if you don't have a phone call, you flag somebody down. Now, let's be honest, okay? If it's the middle of a Michigan winter, that could be seriously dangerous. You got to use your head. Right. That's a sakana, and then you take a ride. Okay? And you ask for a ride, because that would be a sakana.
Call 911 and... Like if there was no traffic.
Now, by the way, let's say you stopped on the side of the road. What's likely to happen? You stop your car and the guy pulls over and you say, well, it's my Sabbath. I really can't go anywhere. Okay? Huh? He says, where do you want to go? I'll take you. Right? Are you allowed to get in the car?
If it's after the 45 minutes. Stopping now?
What?
If it's
after the 45 minutes.
Well, if it's in matter of
life. Is it Pikuach Nefesh to stay on the side of the road for a day?
No.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, not winter. Summer.
Okay. It must be. It depends where you are. It depends where you are. It depends where you are. Right.
It's depending where
you live in such a paranoid time.
Well, you need to go.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be there.
Of course you wouldn't want to be there.
It depends where you are. If you're stuck in Detroit.
No, not stuck in Detroit. You're driving up to, you know, Charlevoix.
Is it? So there's some crazies up there.
You didn't say anything. You ain't watching it. You got a ride.
They're still benefiting. Okay, it's interesting. Okay. Let's look at the halacha. Okay. Ein lo ela arba amos. So again, let's say if you went outside the tchum, that area, if you went outside the Tchum Shabbos, then you only have Arba Amos. Okay? Holy Chuhu La'ir HaCheres. Let's say some non-Jew, they force you to travel to some other city. This is going to be important. They take you to another city. Natanu B'dir O B'Sahar, Rabban Gamliel B'Ezra B'Nazari Omer, Mahalichet Kula. They put you in a traveling area, right? So they bring you to a city. So then they hold, Rabban Gamliel says, that new city becomes your inhabited area. You don't have to stay in that one in the four Amos. Okay, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Kiva, and Ella Arba Amos. So Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Kiva said they only had the four Amos. And if you think they were being harsh, listen to what happened. Ma'isa Shabal mi Plandrisin. Bifliga b'svinasan bayam. So they were coming from Plandrisin. And their boat got stuck in the water. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lazar, Halchu Eskula. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lazar, they walked the whole boat. Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Kiva, lo zazu mi arba amos shiratzu lahachmir al atzma. They were afraid that if they allowed themselves to be lenient in this situation, then they would be lenient in other situations. So Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua, they stayed within the same 6 square feet for the entire Shabbos. So, on the boat. They wouldn't move. Okay. Because they felt if they were lenient, they were machmir on themselves. If they were lenient here, then they would forget to teach other people to be more stringent in other situations where you were not allowed to move. Okay.
Get to know each other.
What? Once they were on a boat and they didn't get to port until nightfall. Can we get off?
No.
Hold on. I can. You can. Why? I was looking. And I saw we were within the 2,000 amot before darkness fell. So therefore, that became our city of inhabitants before Shabbat. But you see, this is nothing new. We didn't take a train. They took a boat. You took a bus. It's a big problem. It's a real issue. And you have to ask yourself, if you're in the middle of the road, right? What do you do when you arrive there? Yes.
So if you go out of the school on Shabbat and you're only a couple feet out, can you use your 4 hours?
No. Once you're out, you're out. That's exactly, good question. So don't go out. Make sure you stay inside your tchum. Like if you make camp, right? You're in the middle of a campsite. You're not allowed to go beyond 1,000 amos. This actually happened to me. We went somewhere, I don't remember where, we rented a cabin in Ohio somewhere. So we took a little hike. I went to take a little hike with the kids. It was a long Shabbos afternoon. You have to be careful. Don't go too far.
Even though it's considered within the camp?
What, within what camp?
Let's say you're
within the delineated camp area?
You're staying in a big campground, like a pinery.
Does it have a fence?
It has miles and miles.
Does it have a fence?
Along the seashore.
Does it have a fence?
It doesn't have a fence on the side of the shore.
No, but I'm saying it's a fenced-in area. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a specific question. I don't know. I can't tell you off the top of my head. Okay.
How far is that 2,000?
Half a mile.
That's what it says. See, Josh, look at number 6. Misi yoche chutz latchum afilu ama achat. If you go out even one ama, lo yikamesh biyos kibnei ha'ir. You can't go back in. Ne'ema ala arba amos. Because the rabbis, they said, don't go outside. That's the rule. You have to stay inside. Okay, page 3. Moving on. This is the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says the following. Very interesting case. He talks about these issues. So you look at Yud Beis, when Yud Aleph, one second, if I can find it. He says, let's say you're on a wagon. Okay? The Atzlenu, Shenosim Ba'agala, look at Yud Aleph. Aruch HaShulchan was written, by the way, by Rabbi Epstein. Which one, though? You remember his first name?
Yechiel
Epstein, right. The son of he was the son of the Torah Tanima? Yeah. Okay? So he wrote this in the late 19th, early 20th century. So a lot of his things he talks about are much more updated. So we travel in a wagon. Im ha'agalon eino Yehudi. Right? Let's say it's a non-Jew. So now translate wagon. You're stuck on a bus. Okay? V'hu lo rachuk mi ha'ir. He's not far from the city. V'ro ha'sha Hashem es krova lishakam. The sun is going down. Yeired me'al ha'agala. Right? He's not far from the city. So he's within 2,000 amos of the city. You're not allowed to ride. So get off. Walk. Okay, and you should leave your stuff on the wagon and hope that the non-Jew is nice enough, right? That he'll take care of your stuff. Okay, and the wagon should go, and you should go on your feet. I want to skip down a little bit because I'm running out of time. Okay.
Is that similar to landing at the airport and you don't have time to get your
bag? Excellent question. You land at the airport. You don't have time to get your bags. The plane has been delayed.
Rush home.
What are you doing? Oh, forget, your bags for sure, leave them. That's what Aviva said. For sure your bags. What if you land after Shabbos? You land after Shabbos. So what do you have to do? Well, you for sure have to stay at the airport. You have to separate all your muksa stuff and your non-muksa stuff. We'll assume that if there's a gangway, if you're going outside, if you're one of those like annoying commuter planes, then you can't carry your stuff off the airplane. You just can't do it. You can tell a non-Jew I can't do it, and they can carry it for you, but you can't do it. You have to separate your muksa stuff, your non-muksa stuff, and hope that the stewardess is nice enough to carry your muksa stuff off the plane for you and put them in a locker or whatever, just leave them there for you. And then you're spending the rest of Shabbos in the airport. Okay.
Are you allowed to check into a hotel in the airport? After Shabbat
starts. No, after Shabbat starts?
Right.
Sure, as long as you don't sign anything.
Right.
That's a good idea. Yes. What?
Another question. What do you have at the door? Metro, where 11 o'clock, let's say it really gets delayed, 11 o'clock, the whole airport shuts down.
Yeah. So what are you going to do, kick you out?
I don't know. No, they don't.
They'll let you sleep there.
It doesn't actually shut down. I mean,
that's an excellent point. So I think that my friend, I brought this up at the beginning, if he got, now that I think about it in retrospect, he took a cab, and it might have been, I think, in Bein HaShemeshos. So in Bein HaShemeshos, he took a cab and had the non-Jew paid himself, I guess, however he worked it out. If you get to, let's say, you take a bus, you get to Hartford, it's snowing, first thing you should do is, where's the closest hotel? Right? Ask somebody else to carry your stuff to the hotel and do your best to check in.
What if it's the electric doors? They don't have
them. I'm open it for you.
So you can do it?
Sure, why not? Yes. Remember, you're in your 45 minutes. If you're lucky, you're in your 45 minutes.
And if it's after?
You stay in the lobby. They're not going to kick you out. Will they kick you out?
No.
Yeah, but you look a certain way. You're not like a truant. You know what I'm saying? I can't do anything. I'm stuck here.
Rabbi, in San Diego, all our doors are locked. You know, the rooms. So
yeah.
But when we come from shul, they already know. All the maids go and they open up the doors.
Okay.
Why did you solo? What if you have sent her your baby's
with you? The question with the children, I think that she did the right thing. My friend's wife, who was stuck on the Verrazano Narrows Bridge, I think she did the right thing. Why did she do the right thing? So kids, you can't, I mean, if it was just her, get off on the side of the road and start walking. You could, it's a long walk from the Verrazano, probably 10 miles. You could walk, and it's in within the tum. But if you have children, you just can't start messing around with that. You have to keep going. She kept on. She came. She drove. Yeah.
Did she make it in the 45 minutes?
I don't think so. It was late. But she had little children with her. And, you know, what are you supposed to do? Okay. Now, what about, by the way, what if a policeman comes? You're outside the tum, and a policeman comes. And he says, ma'am, I can't let you stay here.
Right. They do that.
They will do that.
Yeah.
So then what do you do?
You go with them.
Why? Because the non-Jew is now pushing you to go, and they're driving you.
Where are they driving you to?
They're driving you to their wherever.
It's the city.
Right. To the police station or a local motel or what have you. But they're not going to let you stay there.
So then go back now to the instance where you're on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And a guy comes over,
right,
and says to you, you can't stay, I'm not going to let you stay here.
Well, he's not an authority for going, you're not going to let me.
It's my property, my farm. What are you doing?
Well, I'm a gentleman, I'm alone. I'm not going to let you, lady, I'm not going to let you stay here. Like,
right,
you can't,
it's my Sabbath, I can't travel, what am I going to tell you?
Yeah, but it's dangerous, I know this area.
So, would you stay with me?
Okay.
I mean, if it's dangerous, if the guy tells you, what? If you really think it's dangerous, now, by the way, I would suggest that it's different for him staying alone or for you staying alone, absolutely. Yeah, I would agree, yeah, but you have to know, okay? So somebody asked Moshe Feinstein a very interesting question. He asked him, let's say you're going to the hospital, right? And you're having a baby, that's exactly the question. Can your husband travel in the car?
Yeah.
Why?
If you need him,
so Rabbi Moshe goes through the whole thing, by the way. He says, you feel you need him? Do you really need him? Come on. I mean, how much do you really need him? What's he going to do for you anyway? That's not, by the way, you know, by the way, that's just a very recent thing. It used to be, I mean, especially when Rabbi Moshe wrote the Tshuva, why should the husband go to the hospital? As soon as he gets to the hospital in the 1950s and 60s, what are they going to do with him? Get out. Right, right. So now the husbands are really there the whole time, and it's a serious, much more serious, legitimate factor. But in Ramosha's time, he says, what does she need you for? What does he need you for? Did you get to the hospital?
My daughter said, if he's not with me, I'll never have another child with this man.
How about Mikol Makom Shem Moshe, source number 8. Medina, according to the din, Keva demashinu b'yoledes sha'alula lihistakim. Right? A yoledes, somebody gives birth, it could be dangerous, machmas pachad, because of fear. Mihu shiyachol lishmok al chilukim b'chshash pikulach nefesh. I'm not going to start making up distinctions in, is it dangerous, isn't dangerous. V'lachet imo merasim b'fachedesh. If she says, I'm afraid, I don't want to go by myself. They tell her, you know, Rav Moshe, by the way, so in 1950, my dear, it's like a 2-minute drive to the hospital. He'll be there in 10 minutes. No. Still, if she says she's still afraid, okay, she's afraid, you have to go with her. Now, by the way, let's say you're in Brooklyn and you can walk or whatever, and it's not chayef to go with her. There's no obligation. If she says, yeah, it's her 8th kid, right? And she says, yeah, I'll see you there. It's no problem at all. Right? And then he shouldn't go with her. But I've even though she's in the hospital. Even if she's going to the hospital. There's a commercial on TV now where like the woman gave birth, the doctor said, it's a boy. And the husband comes walking in. He's like, you know, he went to get a snack, right? So can we do that again? Okay. Sorry. Nonetheless, if it's far, he should also go, because even though it's not dangerous now, it'll be dangerous later. So he says, ubichlal, see where 5 lines on the bottom? Ubichlal b'nesiyah b'kar. Right? You're traveling in a car. So lo shayach shema yarba b'shilo. Right? What's the problem of traveling in a car? Is it usher for somebody, could you be driving this woman to the hospital on Shabbos?
No,
she needs to be driven to the hospital on Shabbos. So now, what's the problem of somebody else getting in the car? So what? What's the problem?
They're not really sick. They're not really sick.
So what? What is the chilul Shabbos of traveling in that car? No, he's not. No, you're taking a cab, right? The woman is going in the cab or the hospital or the ambulance.
She's allowed to.
What? And she's allowed to. So there's no prohibition of somebody driving this car for a Jew on Shabbos. So what's the problem of the husband getting along for the ride? So he says, the additional gas or his weight is negligible to the weight of the car. He says, I can't think of a chilul Shabbos for the person traveling with her. Since it's permitted for her. I don't even know it. I don't know why it would be yes at all. Okay, even hospital uba'ir. Achulai mishum maris ayin. Maybe it's maris ayin. So perhaps if you're stuck outside the tchum and the policeman is driving you, the policeman's driving anyway. He's going back. So what's the prohibition? And he's forcing you to go. So he says, what's the prohibition of you going in the police car? You can't open the doors and all that. But would you think it's maris ayin if I saw Larry Singh in a police car driving along on Shabbos? Would you think that he's violating the Shabbos? Would I think, oh, it must be permitted? But if I listen to you,
there's an interesting picture in the Encyclopedia Judaica. It was in Bombay, India, in the 1930s.
Oh, yeah, I'm out of time.
It was a trolley system or something like that, or a subway system, and they issued tickets. They show a picture of it approved by the local rabbinate in Bombay, India. The ticket said, for Saturday use only by Jews.
Right, that you had paid. Right, that you had paid.
Right.
I don't think, in Bombay, India, they might have allowed it. I don't necessarily think, you know, I'm sure in New York, I think somebody asked Moshe if you go on the subway, and I'm pretty sure he said, no, I'm pretty sure. But if you had to travel, it would probably be better to go on the subway than to take a cab. Much better. Because it's going anyway, your weight is negligible. You can somehow find a way to pay or get there. Plus, it's probably faster. Okay, page 4. One who is caught in Shabbat traffic close to Shabbat, it is clear he will not arrive home. Should immediately begin looking for a safe place to park and stay for Shabbos. Being delayed in traffic obviously does not permit driving on Shabbos. If a Jewish community is not within reach, one will have to search for a suitable hotel or lodging at which to stay for Shabbos. Under no conditions, aside from Bikuach Nefesh, may one continue to drive after it is already Shabbos. And this people don't realize that I'm going to be stuck, that I'm going to park my car, but it's going to be in the middle of nowhere. Stop. That's what Shabbos is, and you have to take that into account. And it's a difficult, sometimes it creates difficult situations, but there's no, you know, blanket heter. Oh, well, since you have to do this, you have to stop, really. If one becomes aware of this problem after it's too late to reach a hotel, in car, I don't have to say, he must nevertheless park the car in a safe place before sundown, hide the keys and other valuables, and continue by foot to his home or the nearest lodging. This is obviously if he's in the Detroit, you know, area. He must, and then they may have difficulty checking without money, and may be obliged to spend Shabbos in the lobby which is permitted. Right? I mean, if they're going to kick you out, you know, you have to deal with the situation as it comes. But those are realities. You know, the only situation, and you have to be honest about pikuach nefesh. Let's say you're driving on the Southfield, and you're coming up, and Shabbos is coming. So there's a point beyond which it's not dangerous to drive, to walk. I don't know what that is. You guys are Detroiters. You have to decide what that point is. You know, you're driving up the FDR Drive, so there's a point beyond which it's not dangerous to walk. Maybe some places it is. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure it's dangerous just to walk with nothing on you in New York City.
I gave up a trip to Israel because of that.
What's that?
I had to pay tickets to go to Israel. But the flight back home from New York, from LaGuardia to Detroit.
Too late?
It was Spirit and leaving at 4:30.
So how can you get a hotel? Go to Israel and get a hotel. For Travis,
I'm going to get stuff.
Yeah, I hear. Okay, I want to end, so you can read the rest on your own. But just there's a certain awareness that you need of what you have to do, and the fact that you're caught isn't an immediate kula to do whatever you need to do. You have to be aware and know. First things first, you stop, call a cab. You didn't make it, stop the car, find a hotel, stay in that hotel for Travis. It's not the greatest Shabbos in the world, but I would argue the other way. It is the greatest Shabbos in the world. Because it's a Shabbos where you sacrificed your own egg Shabbos for Shneur Shabbos. And I want to end, I'm going to end this here just from a footnote that the Rav adds, Rav Soloveitchik adds in the Al HaTshuva, which appears in On Repentance. If you have my On Repentance, we didn't have it in English here. So he's talking about vidui and tshuva, different types of tshuva. He says, "V'hir shunat li nikan mein vidui prati." I'm going to give you a small confession. I have a thought that causes me to lose sleep. I'll translate in English. He says, I'm not that old, and I remember that in my days, in my life, 90% of Jewish people were Shomrei Mitzvos, kept the Torah. He said in his lifetime, when he was born in a small town in Europe, and when he was born, 90% of Jews kept Mitzvos, and the non-Jews, the Chiloniyim, the secular, they were really on the fringes. I also remember, he says, and not that long ago, when Klal Yisrael was close to the Jew, to God, Chai v'noshem v'avir shel kedusha, it was living and breathing a kedusha. V'ilu kayom kan ma'anu, he says, but what about today? See, he was talking about the difference between the old country, with the way they lived their Jewish life, and today. Hachol v'hachulin sholtim b'kol. He says, the chol, the weekday, the zachdikness, it rules everything. Al kedushas hayom ein maladaber klal, right? The sanctity. What about the sanctity of the day? Afilu b'shchunot ha'amu chalasot yehudim charedim. Even when there are religious Jews, achen yes, there are shomrei Shabbat, Sabbath observers in America, right? Aval lo al Shabbat doev halev kmo al erev Shabbos. Right? He says there's a difference. Some people, we keep Shabbos, but do we keep erev Shabbos? Meaning, do we look forward to Shabbat with a sense of excitement, with anticipation? Do we sanctify the day? Shomrei Shabbos yesh ba'America. He says, yes, we have Sabbath observers in America. Now remember, he was saying this a long time ago, 50s and 60s. Avon ein ba Yehudim shel Erev Shabbos. Right, but do we have the Jews of Erev Shabbos that walk the Chavanas ha'neshama u'bam hayat ha'lev likra Shabbos? And when Shabbos comes, you felt a different feeling. You felt a certain specialness, a certain sanctity, a certain kedusha. He says, "Yesh lanu shomrei mitzvos biyad uberegia ubepet." We have people who are shomrei mitzvos. They keep the Torah with their hands and their feet and with their mouths. But so few are those who know avodah shebelev. So we've talked all these weeks and all these shiurim, probably 30, 40, 50 shiurim. I don't remember how many anymore, about keeping Shabbos. But it's a great way to end, to talk about the idea. It's not just about, can I do this, can't I do that, but trying to inculcate into ourselves a sense of the sanctity of Shabbos and the excitement for Shabbos, and bringing that, what I would call, what he called that spirit of Shabbos and the sanctity within. And I think that's something that all of us need to strive for a little more. Not just, can I do it? Can I read the paper? Can't I read the paper? But trying to bring Shabbos into our attitudes and into our minds and into our hearts. That's something, this is from Alei Tshuva, from Rav Soloveitchik. That's something that we are, on the one hand, lacking in, but it's something that's amazing for us to strive for, to become not just Shabbos Jews, but what he says, Erev Shabbos Jews. Okay, I want to thank you all.